Oh boy. Are you tired? Oh, me too. I know there's a lot of stuff in this chapter, introduction to stocks, but we want you to know it. You're the expert, you're the financial guru for your friends and family, and it's an important responsibility. So in our last presentation here regarding introduction to stocks, we're going to discuss investment strategies. And again, I'll throw my bias up ahead of you. Ahead. I'll tell you I'm a buy and hold kind of guy. So so realize that, you know, there are other strategies out there, but buy and hold's the best, in my humble opinion. Anyway, let's get started on slide 86. The buy and hold strategy says we're going to use fundamental analysis. What's that? We'll discuss that more in detail in our next chapter, but we've already been doing a little bit of it when we discussed price-to-earnings ratio, earnings per share, market capitalization. We use fundamental analysis to identify high-quality companies with good growth prospects and the potential for dividends at reasonable prices. Sometimes you hear people say value investing or growth at a reasonable price, GARP. But you're basically saying, look, this company is a good company. I want to be part owner of this company. And just as I might buy a shoe company or a pizza company or a piece of shoe shop or a pizza shop or any other business, I'm going to hold this company for a good long time. In fact, I might hold it forever. I might bequeath it to my heirs because it's been throwing off plenty of dividends and I'm very happy with the dividends. And now it's time for me to, you know, go on my evolutionary path and bequeath it to my heirs. And that's when they asked Mr. Warren Buffett, what's your favorite holding period? And he said, our favorite holding period is forever. And that's mine, too. You know, I want to hold on to a company and profit from the company's success. Now, of course, we don't live forever. So we're going to decide what to do with it as we age and, you know, sell off to live off the profits or maybe live off the income from it. But you buy the company because you want to be a part of its success for the long term. And there's a wonderful example that we would run to in the face-to-face class called Don't Lose Perspective. And so definitely take a look at that handout. It shows the the World Index, before the All Country World Index, from 1990 to 2000. And it shows how it did on a per month basis, and then it shows how it did on an annual basis. On the per month basis, oh my goodness, it's totally, you can't determine what's going to go on from one week to the another, one month to another. It's just insane. If you try, you drive yourself crazy. But if you step back and look at it from an annual growth rate, it's actually done pretty darn well. So don't lose perspective. Keep a long-term perspective. Slide 87, the income strategy, also called equity income. Remember the equity income mutual funds? These are investors who emphasize dividends over capital appreciation. And in my humble opinion, ideally you should be looking for growth of dividends. And as we discussed when we looked at the 86 years handout, companies that pay consistently growing dividends tend to do very well over time. Certainly they do well when the market does poorly. Why? Dividends are always a positive. That's money in your pocket. And so I'm a big fan of the income strategy. It goes well with buy and hold because we're interested in the company from the standpoint of what is it going to pay us, dividends. In general, it's appropriate for conservative stock investors. Remember, nothing to do with politics. We're talking about people who want to invest in stocks but don't want to lose a whole lot of money. And it works very well with those dividend reinvestment plans that we discussed. Stocks which have had histories of consistent dividend increases have often been the market's best long-term investments, like Procter & Gamble, like Altria selling cigarettes. Whoa. The next strategy is the growth strategy, where we invest in stocks with above-average forecasts of earnings growth. Dividends are a secondary concern, and we will usually see that these companies have high price-to-earnings ratios in expectation of higher earnings in the future. And these are the stars. These are the companies we hear all about. They've got the beautiful teeth and $200 haircuts, and their abs are perfect, right? Everyone wants to jump on the bandwagon as a company is experiencing strong growth. Subsequently, the stock price has been up to very high levels, so typically they are also the stocks that are the riskiest. When the slightest hint of a slowdown in the growth appears, the stock price is often brutally punished. And for you math fans, they don't look at the first derivative. They look at the second derivative, not how fast the company is growing, how fast the growth of the company is growing. And if you didn't know what I just talked about today, don't worry about it. It's just an inside joke for us math nerds. Slide number, yeah, so the growth companies are the stars. They're the ones you're going to see on the cover of GQ and Vanity Unfair. Slide 89, aggressive growth strategy. Now, folks, this is speculation, short-term trading, gambling, the loser's game. The investor aggressively trades in and out of stocks in order to achieve eye-catching returns. Instead of waiting 3 to 5 years for a stock to move, an aggressive stock trader might go after the same investment return in 6 months to a year or less. Some traders have time horizons in the weeks or days, and now there are companies who are using computers to make millions of trades per day. This is the strategy that many people think they are supposed to use when they start investing in stocks. Dear students, it is fraught with perils and drawbacks, not the least of which are the serious transaction costs that can be generated as a result of frequent trading. Stockholders simply adore suckers. Traders who use this strategy. And don't come to me and say, but I get free commissions. Yeah, there's no commission, but how are you paying? Right, you are paying, dear students. Don't kid yourself. You're paying on the spread, the order flow, as it's so innocently called, the kickback that the market makers and dealers give to the commission-free brokers. So please, you know, go ahead and try this, you know, with 10% of your money, whatever. Usually people don't last more than a few weeks or a few months. But I know at least one person who's continually aggressively traded in and out, and he will be the first to tell you that it's not for everybody, and it does kick you in the stomach often. In fact, we had one student, he was throughout the semester would ask me questions about aggressive growth and, you know, trading and technical analysis, which we'll discuss in more detail. And at the very end of the semester, we were discussing, this was our very last face-to-face class, very last session. And I don't know how we got on the subject, but, and I said, but you know, he brought it up again. And I said, but this is a strategy for losing a whole lot of money. He goes, oh yeah, well, I've lost everything 4 times. 4 times he's gone completely to zero. The rest of the students just turned around and looked at him. And I just thought, wow, I didn't say anything. I didn't know what to say. I forget exactly what I said, but I was thinking at the time, can you imagine? This is what I said. All right. I said, can you imagine me going to my wife and saying, dear, do you remember that retirement account that we used to have? So I just thought, you know, that's why there's chocolate and vanilla and some people like strawberry. And I could not imagine losing everything four times. You know, you lose it once, you'd be saying, okay, I'm never going to do that again. But there are people who are like that. So there you go. That's the world takes all kinds. And then slide 90. Now, here's one that I really like myself, but it's not easy. This is not easy. The contrarian strategy. People like Warren Buffett are contrarians. They invest in stocks that are out of favor with the market for some reason, as reflected by low price-to-earnings ratio, low prices compared to their fundamentals, the numbers. Contrarian investors actively seek stocks from companies with sound financial statements that the market has undervalued. And one famous contrarian said, look, I always try to be accommodating. I buy when others want to sell, and I sell when others want to buy. In other words, they wait until the organic matter hits the ventilating device, and then they buy. And when people are partying, having a good old time, yumping up, yup, everything's fabulous, they're selling. But it's difficult, since historically the market rises about three times as much as it falls. So here's Howard Marks, the CEO of Oaktree Capital, a very famous contrarian. Hey, it's not a steady business. You have to be willing to sit on your hands and just be patient. Mr. Warren Buffett did that throughout the 2000s. He eschewed stocks from 2003 or so up until 2007 and 8. And then when the global financial crisis hit and stocks fell over 50%, he swooped in and bought $5 billion worth of Goldman Sachs, $5 billion worth of GE, $10 billion worth of Bank of America, and all three of those turned out to be very, very lucrative deals on his part. So you see, we'll talk more about this idea of buying when others are selling and selling when others are buying in more detail later on, but it's not easy to do. It's very much easier for people like me and you to put $100 a month into our mutual funds or our, you know, our brokerage firm maybe every month when good times are there and when bad times are there. Now, a few that I hope you'll stay far away from. Sector rotation. Sector rotation? You hear people talk about rotating through sectors. You buy the stocks in the hot sectors, sell the stocks in the stale ones. The problem is the hot sectors are hot for a reason and you get burnt. And then the stale ones are the ones you sold from, and that's their turn after you sell to become hot. Momentum investing. This is a form of aggressive growth investing. Buy stocks as they go up, sell stocks as they go down. Often involves selling short stocks short, which is, you know, hoping that they go down. It uses the greater fool theory. Somewhere out there is a greater fool than I am. So I'll buy high, knowing that they're very high, the shares are high, and I'll sell higher. This was, and still is at times, our real estate market in San Diego. For three decades, prices just kept going up and up and up, and there's a greater fool out there who will buy my property for a higher price than I would, or did, until 2008, when the organic matter hit the ventilating device. And now prices, again, are pretty darn high relative to their valuations, in my humble opinion, in the real estate market here in San Diego. And then market timing. Well, we already discussed market timing. This is attempting to predict the future direction of the market. Look, Bernard Baruch, a very famous investor from the mid-20th century, said, don't try to buy at the bottom and sell at the top. This can't be done except by liars. The same people who bought them. The fish was this big. Yeah, don't try to do it. You got to be right twice. You have to be right before the market falls, when to sell, and then you got to decide when the time to buy back in is. And don't expect that you will be, because there's an old saying, they don't ring a bell at the top. They don't ring a bell at the bottom of the market. You don't know when that's going to happen. Slide 92. So which strategy is your favorite? Which would you decide to try? I kind of biased you because I told you my favorite is buy and hold, but you decide. You decide what your favorite strategy is as we now turn our attention to our next chapter, dear students, where we're actually going to try our best to assign valuations to companies. And what we're going to find is it ain't easy. It's not easy to pick stocks. But hopefully you have a strong appreciation for that after going through the one exercise where we went back in time. And even with hindsight, it wasn't easy to pick stocks. So we are at the end of our discussion of the introduction to stocks. And I know, I apologize, there's a lot of information here, but it's not that difficult, really. If you go back and study it, listen to the presentations again, take out that study guide, make flashcards, whatever you do to study, just study every day. Bring honor and glory to Southwestern Community College, to your friends and your family and your coworkers. And once again, we thank you for being in our class. We are so very, very proud of you. Be awesome, dear students. See you in our next chapter, where we will attempt to do the undoable. And that is assign valuations to stocks.